shrieked as if struck and launched herself afresh at the Herald. A step behind her, Lorelei snapped out a command.
Storm of blades rising, harvest the sorrow of the fallen.
Acting in concert, the howling banshees fell upon the Herald in a circle, twirling and lunging, each striking a dozen times in a few moments, opening up long wounds in its crimson flesh. Fianna broke from the deadly assault as the Herald flailed an axe at her head, ducking beneath its blade.
Look to your backs, and I will finish the beast!
The others turned their attention to the blood letters closing around them, but Mytheneth was caught in the back by a serrated sword edge, her armor giving way under the powerful blow, bronze hacking through vertebrae. She fell with a cry, her last act to lash the tip of her sword into her killer's face. She dropped. Possessed by the spirit of Cain, driven by a rage that matched that of the blood god's servants, Fianna unleashed a blistering flurry of strikes against the Herald, cutting away at its chest and throat, driving it back step by step. Blood spurted from the wounds, coating the howling banshee's pale armor with gore, but she pressed on as her sisters guarded against attack from behind, their blades singing as they dueled with the surviving blood letters.
Death now! Back to the accursed realm that spawned you, vile beast!
Fianna's next blow severed the Herald's crooked leg at the knee, toppling it to one side. Before it had hit the ground, she pounced, driving her sword through the white orb of its eye. It twitched twice and fell still. The blood letters' numbers thinned by two-thirds. The other Aspect warriors joined the deathly wail, Tyliana at their head, the tip of his rune staff a purple flare of psychic energy. Beset on all sides, the remaining demons fell quickly, though not before accounting for a handful of the dire Avengers that had come to the aid of the Howling Banshees. After the frenzy of combat, the silence of Lanamayash was the silence of a tomb. There was no grief, not yet. The war mask summoned in the shrine held back all woe. Lorelei broke the still.
Quickly now, take up their wearstones and let us be away from this accursed place.
The gem upon Mytheneth's breast glittered brighter than before, her spirit enclosed within the sanctuary of its crystal heart. While the other Aspect warriors attended to their fallen, Lorelei plucked Mytheneth's spirit stone from its gilded setting and placed it in a pouch at her waist. Kyliak had moved to the body of Cliona, but was presented with a problem. The Exarch's armor was studded with 15 waystones, each with a hue and sparkle of its own. Forever lost to Cain, the spirit of an Exarch was not given up to the infinity circuit of Beeltan, but resided in the armor to blend with all of those that had come before.
We cannot take her with us. Which of us would give their life to carry our sister? Not I.
We could remove all of the stones.
Kyliak crouched over the fallen Exarch as she spoke. She was answered by Lorelei.
There is not time. The longer we dwell, the more demons will come. See, Tyliana moves on already. An easy choice for one that has trodden the path so many times before. How easy is it, Alark, to be, to leave behind a fallen sister? Not easy, but necessary. Too many are numbered who have died beside me, but if we remain here, the tally will increase further.
There was hesitation amongst the sisters. None were willing to abandon Cliona to a fate worse than death. Trapped within the Exarch armor, 15 Eldar spirits would be consigned to damnation when Tyliana wakened Lanamayesh's Infinity Core and activated the craft world's self-destruction. Lorelei conceded to her sister's unease.
Very well. We shall return for Cliona before we depart. Her fall will be for naught if we do not commit the shell of Lanamayesh to the warp. Let us see the task done, and then we shall carry our dead to safety.
The others acquiesced to this compromise and followed as Fianna ran after their departing companions. The crystal matrix at the center of the craft world pulsed red as Tyliana ministered to the corrupted infinity circuit. The air was thick with the stench of blood as the demons of chaos strove to break through the weakened barrier between the warp and the mortal universe. In handfuls, bloodletters and monstrous fleshhounds breached the divide, to be greeted with hails of shuriken fire, the discharge of energy weapons, and the blades of the howling banshees. Though facing no concerted assault, the Eldar were hard-pressed, ever alert for each fresh incursion.
How many more? I can feel the veil weakening with every passing breath. Soon they will come in numbers too great to stop. It is no speedy task to bring forth the spirits of a deceased craftworld. For a long time they have been dormant, allowing this corruption to spread.
We fight as long as we need to, until we can fight no more. Did you think you would grow old as a howling banshee, little sister?
I had hoped to see more than one battle.
There is only one battle, Kalia, for the rare few moments of peace between exchanges. Since the Dark Powers first touched our hearts, we have been doomed to a war we cannot win.
Cannot win? Or do not wish to win, Fyala? Kane's touch upon you grows heavier with every foe you fell.
Perhaps I welcome it, sister. Did not that occur to you?
Narimuth sliced the head from a coalescing bloodletter and span past her war sisters, her blade trailing an arc of blood.
Cleona is not long dead, and you are so soon ready to step into the void she has left. Does her bloody lesson teach you nothing? Or is it that desire for Cain's curse slowed your hand?
Before Fianna could argue the accusation, the air throbbed with power, echoing with a distant roar. It was as if the floor parted as the lattice of the Infinity Circuit gleamed crimson, each red line opening up wider and wider, tearing through the gulf between realms. Bestial, snarling faces pushed through the void gap as Khorne's hunters, fleshhounds, forced their scaled bodies into reality, growling and snapping. Blasts from the fire dragons ripped through the oncoming beasts, and a heartbeat later, Fianna fell upon the half-formed monsters, her blade cleaving deep into a bony crest atop the head of the first hound.
It was not I that doomed Fae Cleona. Look to our precious blood for cause of that.
Kyliak joined Fianna at the warp breach, her pistols spitting shurikens.
You are not wrong, sister. It was my rashness, my need to prove myself, that brought Cleona to her doom. I accept the blood of our Exarch, as I must accept all blood that is shed while I wear the mask of Cain.
The air was so thick now with psychic energy that phantasms danced within it, lit by the ruddy shine of the Infinity Circuit, which now pulsed with new life. Tylianna telepathically announced his rituals were complete as he stepped away from the exposed Infinity Circuit nodes. With the influx of demonic energy momentarily stemmed, it was safe now to open the webway in the heart of the damned craft world. Driving the head of his rune staff into a confluence of blazing crystal threads, he opened up an oval portal surrounded by shimmering silver. As the other Aspect warriors fell back to follow the Farseer into the opening, Fianna stood defiant, blade raised as more bloodletters formed from viscous pools created by trickles of blood running down the walls.
We will not abandon Cleona. We agreed.
The floor shuddered underfoot, almost toppling the howling banshees. Lorelei looked at the others departing, feeling the surge of psychic energy of Lanamaesh wakening. The long-dead spirits of the craft world becoming aware of the grotesque beings seeping through from the warp. Above the webway portal, black fire crawled across the dome ceiling, tendrils of dark flame seeking the gap into the Eldar webway. Shireinan, Exarch of the Fire Dragons, the last of the other squads, stood at the opening and beckoned for the howling banshees to follow. Taking a step towards the portal, Narimuth turned her gaze back towards her shrine sisters.
We're too late. We will be consumed with Cleona.
Never!
Fianna broke from the others, running back the way they had entered. Lorelei lunged to grasp her as she passed, but missed.
What madness grips her?
The madness of Cain. Come, sisters, we cannot let her die alone.
As the howling banshees sprinted from the Infinity Circuit chamber, More red-skinned demons burst into existence, a tide of feral creatures baying and bellowing close on the heels of the fleet-footed war sisters. Shout went almost unheard amongst the tumult of tortured wraithfolk and bellowing of bloodthirsty demons. All around them, the fabric of Lanamayesh tore itself apart. Alerted to the demon presence, the spirits of the Infinity Circuit had gathered all of their remaining energy into the great webway gates aft of the craft world, slowly engulfing the continent-sized vessel with the power of the warp. Kyliak and Narameth fought alongside each other. They attacked as a pair any demonic hound or bloodletter that entered the chamber where Cliona had fallen. Lorelei carried the deceased Exarch over one shoulder. She held her power sword in her free hand, but so encumbered she was at the mercy of her sister's skills as a fresh influx of demons crowded towards the archway to be met by the blades and pistols of the Howling Banshees.
Run, sister, run!
Kyliak cut the head from a lunging demon and darted a look at Lorelei.
The path of the Autarch and greatness awaits. There is no need for us all to die here. The webway is but a short distance. I would rather die with my sisters than live alone as Autarch with the knowledge that I deserted them.
Lorelei lowered Cliona's corpse to the floor, noticing rivulets of blood seeping up from the tainted wraith circuitry beneath her feet. She drew her pistol and joined Fianna, attacking low as her sister slashed high.
Perhaps she who thirsts will not claim us. The blood god hungers for our spirits more greatly, I think.
Accursed mother and father will destroy each other fighting for my essence, if I have any say.
Then together we will fight and fall, and within the womb of the great enemy himself, we shall continue to cut until he must spit us forth or die of the wounds.
A worthy but empty sentiment, sister. The Prince of Pleasure will delight all the more for the tickling we shall give him.
Something even larger and more monstrous than the bloodletters stalked into view at the end of the passageway held by the Howling Banshees. Larger even than the Herald. Its face was thin and drawn, its mouth a gaping hole lined with canine teeth. In one hand, it carried a long bladed sword, the other fist wrapped in barbed chains of bronze. Blackened, tattered wings half spread from its back as it advanced. Its body was protected by iron plate, the surface of which writhed with many faces in torment. The souls of those it had slain, imprisoned for all eternity. The gigantic creature's bellow of rage reverberated along the corridor, penetrating even the fear-dampening effect of the Howling Banshee's war masks. Lorelei gave voice to the alarm she shared with the others.
Demon Prince! Corrupted mortal given immortal form! Against such a foe, we cannot hope to prevail, sisters. And less chance of eluding such a predator. Retreat is no better.
If there can be no retreat, but one option remains.
Fianna relished the prospect of the coming confrontation, wholly consumed by the spirit of Cain.
Let him howl all he likes. He has known nothing until he has heard the deathly wail.
As one, the Sisterhood of Death gathered together, letting flow the fury they had been holding in check. Like water breaking a dam, the despair and rage broke through the barriers of their minds, vented as a war scream as they broke into a run. The psychic barrage of pure hate, the blessing of Cain's legacy, ripped into the nearest demons like a storm. Fueled by the warp energy seething through the doomed craftworld, it tore apart their bodies, flinging tattered remnants against the walls. The demon prince responded, breaking into a lumbering run towards its prey, scattering the lesser demons in its path. Fianna was swiftest, borne forwards with light strides, powered by insane desire, the others close behind. They had not covered half the distance to the foe when the air ahead started to distort. A pinprick of blue light hung in the air ahead of the charging Aspect warriors. In moments, it expanded into a shimmering circle of light, while other miniature stars sprang into existence around it. From the newly opened portals sprang Tylianna, flanked by the exarchs of the other aspects. Sarinan's firepike spat a white beam of pure energy, striking the demon prince square in the chest. The creature staggered backwards, gravely wounded but not slain. The Farseer waved for the War Sisters to enter the Webway portals. Laura and I did not need any further invitation.
Now, sisters, the time of our sacrifice is not yet at hand. Fyhalla!
The howling banshee slowed as her name was called out, shaking her head as if freshly woken from a deep sleep.
What of Cleona? We will take her together, sister.
Moving quickly, Lorelai and Fianna returned to the body of their fallen war priestess and bore her up between them while the others helped throw back the onrushing demons. Behind the bloodletters, the wounded demon prince hauled itself upright and issued its challenge. As they arrived, so the deathly wail departed. Six sisters together, united under Cain's banner. As the force disappeared into the safety of the Webway, Lana Maesh entered its final death throes. Forks of psychic energy rippled along the walls as the raw warp and material universe tried to overlap. The titanic energy unleashed pulled the craft world asunder as it fell into the realm of chaos, dragging the demons back to their infernal home. A single candle guttered atop a slender pedestal at the center of the chamber. Its light barely touched the four female Eldar kneeling in a circle around it, catching them between the warm glow and the chill gloom beyond. They were each clad in tight armor, the color of bone, their helms held in their laps, heads bowed in contemplation. The sound of weeping filled the air as the deathly wail, now stripped of their war masks, could finally give in to the pain and grief of their loss.
As elder sister she was, from me she pulled forth the sting of my anger, taking its poison into herself.
Sister to us all.
Tears flowed down Narimuth's cheeks despite her bitter tone. As she glanced back into the shadow of the shrine, where the naked body of Cleona lay upon a marble bier. It was an empty shell, her spirit still within the armor that had been placed reverently upon its rack in the adjoining chamber.
I never heard her laughter nor saw her smile, and she was incapable of love. Cain gripped her, but for all that, she was sister in war, and she gave her life for us.
There was one who did not cry. She stared at the candle, the flame reflected in her pupils. Her jaw was set, cheeks drawn in tight, stare hard and unyielding. Laura and I glanced at near catatonic Fianna, her concern apparent.
We are free from any burden, sisters. Any debt we feel we owe is just illusion. Cleona was doomed the moment she donned the mantle of Exarch. That which she had been was lost from that time forward. Yet what she became still remains. Give voice to your despair, sisters, and be grateful that we can, for Cleona could never shed tears for us.
Fianna stirred at last, looking from one sister to the next with a cold, flinty glare. Of the Eldar she had been, only a vestige remained. In her expression was hate. Hate not for those she looked at, but a hate at the core of her being, so strong it drove out all other emotion. When she spoke, it was as if another spirit used her lips and tongue.
Save your words of condolences for those that can hear them. I cannot. All is silent in my mind, save for the cry that calls me to my doom. Everything is lost. All that remains is the howl of the banshee.
Forsaken by Rob Sanders. Performed by Gareth Armstrong, Sean Barrett, Lucy Brown, Claire Corbett, Martin Ellis, and Paul Panting. Directed by Samuel Gunn. Produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. The spire halls and chambers of Great Eandon seemed to float on the distant reverence of shrine song and mournful mantras. For Una Belphoebe, ranger and outcast, the haunting chorale was simultaneously what was most beautiful and oppressive about her craft world home. Wherever she traveled in a galaxy, broad and deep, she carried its serenity in her heart. A calm and certainty that called her back to mighty Eandon. Here, however, saturated in the intensity of order and at the intersection of so many of her people's paths, it drove her to the Wayport, to the portals and the possibilities that lay beyond. As she buried provisions and spare crystal cores into the depths of her camellia-lined cloak and satchel pack, the ranger felt that she was no longer alone in her preparations. She stopped for a moment.
Vasir Kelman.
Una Belphoebe. I see the frightened child I once knew in the Eldar before me. Running away again, ranger.
I fear nothing.
That's what scares me, child.
More lectures, Vasir. Must we do this again?
No lectures, child.
Then I bid you farewell.
The ranger scooped up her helm and long rifle.
Please pass on the dutiful respects of a daughter, should you see my father.
Where are you headed?
You tell me, Vasir.
You return to Aphreleon to enjoy the embrace of the Exodite, lovesick and starry of eye.
Metaphors do not become you.
Nor the backwater worlds you, my child.
Did my father send you?
The bed of Issarion Stormsmoon calls to you.
That is none of your concern, venerable seer. Stay out of my future.
I wish that I could.
Kelmon turned the ranger towards the webway portal.
But you walk into it blind. The romance of adventure cripples you. Use your foresight, child. See the doom that awaits you and your backwater prince.
Belphoebe looked upon the truth of the runes, allowing the rush of time and distance to wash over her. She peered briefly into eternity and found her way to the Exodite world of Aphreleon. She soared above its rugged peaks and the cloudy canopy of its vapor forests. The exotic cacophony of life rose to meet her. The hiss of the steam vents grew to a harsh, alien seething. The profusion of forest life descended into the clacking, snapping, and the screeching of beasts from the beyond.
No!
The great devourer stakes its claim. Swarm fleets appearing from the coldest void, or fresh from feasting on the Monki and the outlying empires. The worlds of wine and honey stand in the devourer's path. Exodite worlds, Mirandias, Kusandritok, Aphreleon.
I have to warn them.
It's too late, child. Though it pains me greatly, Aphreleon's time has ended. Its skies darken, with the doom to come. From lifeless rock it sprang, and to lifeless rock it will soon return. To the loss of all.
We can evacuate the tribes through the world gates.
Isarion Stormsmoon will not abandon his paradise to the Tyranid. You know this. The savage prince is skillful, but proud. He united the great equatorial tribes, buckling them like a belt about their world. He led dragon riders, world singers, and scouts to victory against the corpse emperor's armored kin, and drove the destructive green invader from the surface of Ephraelion. The shadow in the warp begins to cloud my sight. But it is clear that Isarion will convince himself and others that this new threat can be met. But it cannot. The paradise will perish, and his people will be lost to the void spawn, their number countless and cold. The galaxy will be denied a world, and the Eldar a legend in the making.
It makes no difference. I...
Say it. Speak the words.
I love him. I will go to him. Do not think to stop me.
Fate forbids that I stand between the destined and their destiny.
Fate is with me.
The crone is fickle, speaking in riddles about half-truths yet to come. The Skeins have revealed to me that your noble savage might be one of the foretold princes of Providence, guardians of the East, fiery beacons to be lit on the dark frontier.
You begin to sound like your crone, Seer.
You have served our people well, as outcast and as one of us. You have been the craft world's eyes on distant worlds. Your rifle has been an end to enemies, and the finger on its trigger light in the taking of treasures once ours. Isarion Stormsmoon is not a treasure of our past, but our future. Mighty Eandon calls for him.
You want me to deliver Isarion, but not his people?
He has a bright future. His people do not.
You argue with yourself, Lord Kelman. As you said, the prince will not abandon his world.
None of the other treasures you recovered for me had such a say in their recovery.
The ranger's heart felt like stone in her chest.
He will hate me for eternity.
Eternity is the price you pay for the love he bears for his people, and yours in turn for him. Fate has found a use for such wanton blindness. Now you see.
Belphoebe stared back into the portal, allowing the impossible trajectories of the webway to carry the gaze of her tear-glazed eyes to distant Ephraelion. As she drank in the doom of the Exodite world, she became lost in the shrieking of alien beasts, an ear-splitting horror that grew and grew until... Silence.
I see.
The searing crack of interdimensional energy. This was followed by another, and another. The arcs intensified into a blaze as the agitated space at the center of the webway portal achieved actuality. The sizzle of translation erupted about the cloaked silhouettes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that cleared the gate with feline grace, landing lightly in the surrounding undergrowth. They became immediately immersed in an equatorial fog of sound and heat as the vapor forests and Ephraelian highlands closed in about them. Steam rose from ground vents and snaked its way through the thick blue foliage and up into the forest canopy. The air was thick with the buzz of vapor shrimp and the croaks of tree-hugging amphibia that swooped down through the swarms on webbed limb wings, collecting the bounty in their great ballooning gullets. Condensed droplets fell in fat splatters from the treetops. Cutting through the miasma, Belphoebe could hear tree imps in the canopy shrieking their alarm at the ranger's arrival and the booming reptilian squawk of some feathered but flightless behemoth in the distance.
Helms and panspectrals!
The rangers slipped their heads into slender helmets and activated the sights on their long rifles. With a soft chirp and a hum, both rifles and scopes were primed.
Switch to thought casting.
Belphoebe heard the voices of her rangers echo about her mind. During the often covert nature of their enterprises, where the presence of a ranger might be advertised by traditional communications, thought casting became invaluable. With practice, an Eldar could telepathically commune with a group of kindred and ensure the silence essential to a ranger's survival.
Dahedron harmonized.
Kalsar harmonized. Tessarian harmonized.
Kalsar and Tessarian were brothers. Like Belphoebe, they were keen-eyed Yandan Eldar, who shared a talent for off-world hunting. Dahedron was Belphoebe's right hand. Short and scrappy for an Eldar, the ranger was the veteran scout of hundreds of alien worlds and was both the voice of cautious experience and enthusiasm for new ventures. Hailing from Biel Tan, Dahedron was well-suited to aid the Exodite cause on Ifrilion, though his craft world's own farseers had been apparently blinded to the danger. Belphoebe had not been entirely truthful with any of them about the true reason for their expedition and the dangers they would face. As their minds intruded upon one another, she was careful to guard such secrets and insincerities.
Helchandra, harmonize.
Helchandra had been a different case entirely. Following Farseer Kelmon's warning, Belphoebe had needed a fifth ranger, and fast. Helchandra was young and inquisitive, drifting from path to path but longing for adventure that could only be found beyond the wraithbone walls of the craft world. She was not without talent with a long rifle, but was too young to take up the mantle of the outcast. In a moment of necessity, Belphoebe silenced her personal misgivings about the girl and finally gave in to her entreaties.
Harmonized. Why is everything blue?
Dahedron?
The Exodite world's sun is lacking in cardinal frequencies. This affects the soul of the vegetation and everything that eats it.
And everything that eats everything that eats it.
She has a point. Adjust scopes and crystal refraction for spectral deficiencies.
The lesson has ended.
While Dahedron and the others considered such tutelage essential to Helchandra's survival, and by extension their own, Belphoebe knew they had no time for such indulgence.
Dahedron, our surroundings. What can you tell us?
The undergrowth swooshed as Dahedron moved lightly through it, studying the signs and symbols of alien nature.
We're on a game trail.
Why place a gate on a game trail?
The trail exists because of the gate.
Visitors are the game?
Listen, and you might learn something.
The ground's worn here.
The leaves of a ground shrub rattled as Dahedron pulled them close. He sniffed.
Evidence of a kill here. Some blood. Tracks indicate predation. Large megafauna.
At that moment, the raw reptilian bellow of some forest beast erupted in the distance.
Isarian's dragons.
I thought you said you had been here.
Different gate. Tessarian, find a nodal point and commune with the world spirit. We need guidance, the fastest route to the colonies. We need to find the seat of Ishtario La.
Yes, mistress.
The ranger slipped through the mist and foliage, out of sight.
Something's coming.
December.
The rangers melted into the vapor forest, one with their surroundings. The sound of forest life reintruded on the scene, including the snorts of an approaching jungle forager. The creature was all tusk, multi-snout, and swollen belly. It snuffled its way towards the webway portal, but as it did, the sounds of the forest died away. The forager sniffed at the air. The surrounding trees suddenly gave an agonizing groan. The boom wood shearing and snapping as they were pushed aside by the storming charge of some great beast of the forest. The ground shook with the steps of a colossal, feathered biped, a thick, muscular tail balancing in the squat jaws of a vapor forest predator. The raw reptilian bellow of the monster rattled the canopy. The thumping stomp of its charge carried it past the webway portal. The forager squealed and ran, but with a sweep of its jaws, the monster had it. After the brief horror of snorters, death shrieks, the portal's sight filled with the flesh-squelching, bone-crunching mastication of the feeding beast. Suddenly the Megasaur stopped. With half the carcass still dripping from its maw, it raised its ungainly skull and, like its prey had done previously, sniffed at the air. From above came a sky-shattering roar of another Exodite world creature. The call was a doom-laden announcement of predacious superiority.
The beating of great leathery wings thrashed the treetops before a pair of gigantic scaly talons crashed down through the canopy. The flying reptile hammered down into the megazord, burying its giant talons in the creature's muscular back flesh. The Megasaur gave a shriek of shock as it was skewered by the beast's claws. The monster's mighty wings took it once again into the heavens, and the Megasaur was torn skywards, its pitiful moans drifting away into the distance. After a few moments, the chorus of forest life returned, and with it, the ranger Tessarion.
It's gone.
With a whisper of foliage, the rangers revealed themselves.
The world spirit
indicates that the colonies are a few hours to the east. For Ishtariel La, we will have to cross the highlands.
It's situated amongst paddy terraces, cut into the mountainsides, upland crops and the like. A few hours.
The passes and crossings will take longer. The route takes us up through some harsh country.
We don't have a few hours. Single file, double stride. We stop for nothing. Dahedron, take scout point. Be the breeze, whistling through the trees, the crooks and canyons. Find me a way through this forest. Kalsa, the wind at our backs.
What is that in the sky?
Helchandra pointed up through the demolished canopy. The rangers peered up at the firmament. The sky was streaked with swirling clouds and the trails of falling cyst spores that speckled the heavens like a glowing rash or affliction.
That's invasion. That's the descent of the great devourer. That's why we don't have a few hours. Rangers, move out!
Una Belphoebe was young by the standards of her race. She was in the peak of her physical prime, however. Her long legs carrying her at speed and with a dancer's grace through the vapor forest's tangled ascent. Still, the Eldar found herself pushed to her physical limits by the Aphraelian highlands. Dahedron raced ahead, forcing his mistress and her rangers to keep the relentless pace. Cradling her long rifle at the ready, and with her camellia-lined cloak flowing behind her like a rippling mirror of the surroundings through which she leapt, rolled, and darted, Belphoebe did her best to keep up. All she knew was the rapid staccato in her chest, the unusual labor of her breathing, and the light crunch of her footfall scudding through the undergrowth. The young Helchandra, eager to impress, was at her heels every step, with the brothers bringing up the rear. With the foliage whipping by and the forest haunted by the calls of alarmed beasts, Belphoebe occasionally risked a glance up through breaks in the canopy. The sky was dark with the great devourer's plummeting heralds of doom. She had heard reports from fellow rangers, presented as tales of caution, regarding the eastern homesteads and worlds of the fringe. Worlds stripped bare of organic life by some voracious galactic plague. What Lord Kelman had told her of the Tyranid Scourge haunted her further.
What are they?
The beginning of the end. The talon tip of a greater doom to come. Something reaching out for us from beyond the galaxy. Something insatiable and unswerving in its desire to assimilate all life as we conceive of it.
How do we stop it?
You don't halt such ruination. It is an apex predator writ large upon the galaxy. You get out of its path. You allow it to feed on enemy empires while you save your own.
Ever has it been the path of the Iandan people to evade adversity.
Though Iandan has faced the Tyranid and survived.
What of the Exodite worlds on the fringe? Evasion is not an option for them.
The Exodites are nomads. They will do what they did before. They will travel light and travel far. Though they will lose much, theirs will become a guerrilla war. Their tribes running and fighting from world to world. And Issarion Storm's Moon will lead them.
Cover break.
Dahedron's thoughtcast brought the rangers to a halt at the edge of the vapor forest.
Report.
Arable land, cleared for crops. Terraced paddies leading up the mountainside to a settlement.
That's Ishtariel now. The seat of the old chieftain.
Is that smoke?
Cal?
Kalsar's scope hummed as he brought it to his helm.
Vanguard organisms.
What are we waiting for?
Wait! Look! On the terrace. The labourers. Out by the spirit posts.
The scout pointed out a group of exodite labourers desperately trying to bring a terrified beast of burden under control. The long-necked Megadon trumpeted its fear and stamped down into the paddy with its colossal feet, causing a thunderous splash. Meanwhile, the exodite farmers unchained their draft animal from the logs it was clearing and called their calming command up at the creature.
Mistress! The sky!
The rangers looked up just in time to see a flock of winged horrors sweep down from the heavens and out across the glassy surface of the paddy.
Descender!
The sky-slashing swarm seared past, a swooping rush of flapping wings and screeching jaws. The flock whirled and banked before ripping through the exodite labourers and their beast of burden. The Megadon's trumpeting alarm and the brief screams of the farmers were lost in the nightmare of slashing jaws and barbs that shredded the exposed group.
Dihedron?
There's next to no cover on the approach.
Well, what is there?
The spirit posts are made of crystal. They occur at intervals up through the terrace. If we watch the angle of approach and put them between us and the flock, they should offer some protection.
That's suicide, if those things are out here. Imagine what horrors the settlement is facing. Imagine what Asarion is facing. How can you know he'll be here? This is the chieftain's seat, his father's settlement. He'll be there. But how can you know? He'll be there. Dihedron will lead. Use the spirit posts at intervals. Run. Run as fast as you can. They're on a second pass for what's left. Dihedron, go!
As the ranger sprinted through the paddy, his footfalls created quickfire splotches in the flooded field. Slamming his back into the crystal of the spirit post, Dihedron took a moment to catch his breath and scan the skies.
Helshandra, with me!
Splashing through the shallows, Delphoebe could hear the descending shriek of the swarm behind her. With a grunt of exertion, she reached the first spirit post.
Mistress!
Helshandra's natural speed and grace were of little help to her on the swampy terrace.
Give me your hand!
Snatching from one another, Delphoebe hauled the young Eldar to her. Elshandra and her mistress slammed their backs to the crystal monolith and allowed the screeching flock of skyborn rippers to slash past.
Run! Desarian! Kelsar!
Coming! On our way!
The air was alive with the roar of a rapid descent. A fleshy pod had streaked down out of the heavens. The thing struck the terrace and proceeded both to steam and boil the paddy water about it. A horrid, cracking noise gave indication that some engineered horror was about to emerge.
Go around!
Rangers, target presented!
Belphoebe thought cast. Kneeling down in the water where they stood, Dihedron, Helshandra and their mistress brought the humming scopes of their rifles up. Needlepoint beams of intense energy seared across the paddy and over each other before fading on the breeze. They punctured the pod and lanced through the emerging beast within, whose building bellow descended into a wet, chitinous death rattle.
Tessarian, come on!
Flock inbound!
They're not going to make it!
Belphoebe knew the girl was right.
Down! Get down in the shallows!
The two brothers splashed down into the paddy water, Tessarian a moment after his brother. The sky slashers screeched their way across the terrace, coming in low. Latching onto Tessarian with their ripper jaws and wing talons, the flock took the screaming Eldar up into the air, tearing and shredding him as they flew. As Kalsar rose from the shallows, he brought up his long rifle and sent several long, searing beams into the swarm, grimly hoping to hit his brother and end his suffering. The rapid beams that followed were meant for the monsters, but did little but punch pointless holes through the flock.
Kalsar, I need you to move.
When the ranger answered with more useless blasts at the banking swarm, she added,
Ranger, I lead, you follow. Move!
After perilous moments of silence, Kalsar splashed to his feet.
Yes, mistress.
Kalsar ran through the shallows, joining Delphoebe, Helshandra, and Dihedron at the paddy edge.
Kalsar, Dihedron, Kalsar, onto the settlement.
Give him a moment.
As the rangers' foliage-crunching footsteps carried them on to Ishtariola, Belphoebe turned on the young Eldar.
He does not need your pity, child. He lost a brother. As Isarion loses a world and the world its people, time will not wait on your tears. Tessarion was a ranger like his brother. They knew the risks. The outcast's path is a perilous one. Tessarion's loss is a tragedy, but grief serves no one but yourself. Like I said, Khalsar does not need your pity. He needs you to learn quickly and do your job. Do you understand?
Yes, mistress.
Onwards, ranger.
Belphoebe and Helchandra caught up with the remaining rangers on the edge of Ishtariel La. The settlement was ablaze. Fire raged about the intricate hardwood structures, crackling and spitting furiously. There was confusion. There was terror. Harbinger organisms of the Tyranid invasion force were erupting from the tree line. Hissing monsters sprang through the billowing banks of smoke and set upon screaming Eldar as they tried to get their friends and families to safety. Talons sank into back flesh. Scything limbs plunged into torsos with startling precision. Heads were torn clean off in mid-scream by snapping jaws. Chitinous horrors leapt from body to butchered body, leaving the blood-splattered carcasses of Eldar in the wake of their frenetic savagery.
Dahedron, report.
Vanguard organisms have reached the settlements.
They are barely the beginning.
Amidst the horrible hissing and screeching, several shrill wails went up as Exodites cut through encroaching specimens with their single-shot shuriken casters.
There's the communal dome, the chieftain's seat. That's where we'll find Isarion. Helchandra, Dahedron, with me. We'll seek an audience with the chieftain and his son.
Don't you think they might be a little preoccupied?
Among all these unwelcome guests, I've got the feeling that they'll be glad to see us.
Belphoebe, I know you know these people, but we've got to be in and out. The descents are intensifying. Once the invasion moves on to the next phase, we'll be cut off.
Don't you think I know that? Khalsar, are you with us?
To the end, mistress.
Dissemble here. I need you to provide cover fire for our approach. Hold this exit point. Like Dahedron says, we'll be in and out. Can you do that?
Go.
With Belphoebe leading the way, the three rangers broke cover and ran into the chaos and confusion. With measured steps and elegance of rolls, bobs, and weaving vaults, the rangers negotiated the unfolding havoc like a steeplechase. The cacophony of battle intensified and faded about them. The crackle and hiss of fires, the screams of the savaged, the leaping screeches of invader organisms, the frenetic slaughter that followed. Clawing, stabbing, snapping.
3 points east.
Belphoebe blasted through an oncoming construct.
Elevation minus two.
Belphoebe cut through another leaping monstrosity.
Southwest by west. Allow for obscurity.
Dahedron fired off a shot from his long rifle.
Got it!
Flanking! Over my shoulder!
Over mine!
The two rangers fired over each other, turning a pair of furious screeches into trailing hiss whimpers.
Come on!
Helchandra screamed as a chitinous beast leapt from the flaming ruins of a nearby structure and landed on Dahedron, its carapace still alight.
Dahedron!
The pair of rangers turned and rained blows down upon the creature with the stocks of their long rifles.
That beast! Right!
Belphoebe slammed it back before turning the weapon around and releasing a blast into its abdomen. Helchandra shrieked again as a second monster scuttled across her prone form.
Another!
Mistress!
Jaws snapped for the young ranger's mask plate with pneumatic insistence. The whoosh of a beam passed through the thing's bulbous head, spreading what passed for its brain across Helchandra.
Khalsar!
Get up!
Among the screeching, screaming, and the discharge of weapons, a rumble grew. Something deep and troubling. Something that led the ground to tremble and the settlement structures to shake.
What is that?
The ground ahead of them gave way like a colossal sinkhole. Showering grit and stones, a monstrous serpentine behemoth rose out of the ground, great tunneling appendage blades clicking and rattling before it.
We have a big problem.
Khalsar!
Scope and spectres offer nothing on vulnerabilities.
The rattling grew to a horrible insistence, presaging a mind-shattering shriek and a lunge forward. The tunneling talon came down, stabbing into the ground as the ranger tumbled through the grit.
Again!
It stabbed down with another colossal appendage.
Khalsar, up! Disarm it! Literally!
A succession of sizzling beams cut through the wrist gristle of several siding blades, causing the weapons to crash to the ground and dribble ichor. The monster shrieked its fury, and Dihedron rolled clear. Once again, a doom-laden rumble reached up through the ground beneath their boots. Earth erupted about the Rangers.
Two more! You're cut off!
We must abort!
He's right! No, we do what we came here to do. I will not take the coward's path!
Her words were lost in the air-trembling screech of the three Tyranid monstrosities, which in turn were lost in a reptilian belly roar from the heavens.
Above you! Dragon riders!
The sound of the belly roar rode on the beating of great leathery wings. The Tyranid bioconstructs hissed, spat, and shrieked their acknowledgement of the threat, uncoiling the rattling chitin of their serpentine forms from the ground.
It's a Sarian! Down!
The sound of a building eruption was unleashed as the lead mount launched a stream of flame from its scaly jaws. The stream was joined by two others as the flying reptiles engulfed the Tyranid constructs in a fiery inferno. The invader organisms shrieked and sizzled in the fires. One of the mighty reptiles flapped down into a landing, sinking its great talons into the nearest Tyranid tunneler. The organism spat and rattled, hissing its alien enmity at the dragon and its rider. The sky beast roared back.
Forward!
The thunderous clash of the behemoths, entwined about one another, took them crashing through settlement structures and invader organisms waiting to pounce.
Wait!
The Tyranid construct shrieked and snapped its jaws at the flying reptile, while the dragon crunched through the alien's thick carapace with its powerful jaws. The beating of wings signified a second sky beast coming into land. Belphoebe released the plastic crystal seals and removed her helm.
Isarian!
Mistress! The swarm!
Scanning the skies, Belphoebe saw the flock of rippers, like an ink blot on the heavens. It was searing up behind the great winged reptile.
Isarian!
The rippers punched through the membrane of the dragon's wings and tore up through its scaly flanks. The rider sensed his steed's difficulty and guided it out across the canopy of the vapor forests. Like a cloud of barbs and razor jaws, the ripper flock tore the groaning beast to shreds.
Isarian! The trees! Jump!
Isarian Stormsmorn couldn't have heard the ranger at that distance. But the Exodite Prince had few options left to him. With a roar of defiance, Isarian leapt from the savage reptile and dropped down through the treetops. The dragon rider plummeted awkwardly, clawing through the canopy, breaking both bones and branches as he tumbled down through the broom woods. Isarian finally hit the ground with an ugly thud, groaning to himself and falling in and out of consciousness. Some distance away, the shredded carcass of his mount crashed into the forest. For a moment all was silent, but for the Exodite's labored breath. Then he heard the chitinous clicks and hissing of Tyranid constructs closing in. They leapt from tree to tree, their bounding rate rustling the leaves on the branches.
No.
He tried to move, but the exertion produced an agonizing wail. The bounding grew in speed. The hissing grew louder. Then suddenly, footsteps, swift and graceful through the forest.
Dihedron!
The vapor woods seared with the beams from their long rifles. Death shrieks were followed by the crash of construct bodies meeting the ground.
Is he alive? Get him up! Get him up!
Isarian's breathing became rapid and shallow. Movement prompted another wail of agony.
Isarian! Look at me. It's Una.
Have to send word to the northern tribes. The world singers of Beeltan.
Arm and a leg broken. Some lacerations. Probable collapsed lung and head trauma.
The dragons of Arisline must be unleashed. The kindred of the lakes. I must warn my father. Father. Father, our people.
Isarian, it's Una.
Beams sizzled through the trees once more.
I've got targets.
The forest came alive with the sound of invader organisms closing in on their position.
I've got lots of targets.
Una. Una.
I'm here.
Una, my father. I should say, my people.
Once again, the Exodite tried to get up, but a teeth-clenching cry of agony put him back down.
I know.
Isarion's groans faded.
The pain. He's out.
Well, Phoebe!
Kausar's firing intensified with the shrieks of dying constructs.
What are we going to do? What do you mean?
We've got to go back.
There's no going back. Only forward. Vasir Kelman taught me that.
You heard him. His people.
His people are doomed.
We can save them.
No.
It's what he would want.
Help Phoebe!
This has nothing to do with want, child. It has to do with need. Isarion Stormsmorn is needed elsewhere. It's destiny's decree.
You won't even try? We could take the tribes back with us.
I'm not here to save them. I'm here to save him. Only him. If I do, he will look at me. If he can look at all, through your unforgiving eyes. But that's the way it has to be.
Well, Phoebe...
It is done. You will learn, child, that it is futile to fight your future.
That's it. We've got to go. Right now.
I've got him.
No. It's my burden. I'll carry him.
Isarion moaned as the ranger picked him up and put him over her shoulder.
Single file! Double stride! Back to the gate! We stop for nothing! Rangers, move out! Kalsa, come on!
The forest echoed with the last of the sizzling beams.
I'm out.
Me too.
It's not far. Dahedron, go ahead and activate the webway portal.
Isarion groaned with each of her heavy steps. Something crashed down through the forest canopy from above, a fleshy capsule that hissed with the residual heat of atmospheric re-entry. One of the great devourer's descent pods. It began to crack and split, unleashing alien horrors upon the landing site. They clicked and spat their hatred for life.
Dissemble!
The Eldar scattered, blending with the foliage. For the longest time, there was nothing but the inquisitive hissing of the Tyranids' new arrivals and the soft moans of the Exodite prince. The sudden crack of immaterial energies arcing across the nearby webway portal provoked the throng of monstrosities, and they took off through the foliage.
Go!
The rangers set off after them. They had only got a few steps before something leapt out of the trees at them, a towering, scythe-limbed hunter with feeder tendrils whipping from its open maw. The beast had the ranger, who was beating it back with his fists. His ranger's knife whispered from its sheath, and Kalsar stabbed at the monster that had him pinned to the forest floor. The construct had blades of its own, however, and proceeded to gore the Eldar with mantid precision.
Go for the case!
Come on! Move!
The two rangers made for the portal, but as they approached the sizzling, arcing space within the Wraithbone Arch, Dahedron was nowhere to be seen.
Where is he? Dahedron! Has he gone through?
As they approached the webway portal, the pair of rangers could hear the cracking of bones and tearing of flesh. The Tyranid constructs from the pod were hissing and snapping at one another in a feeding frenzy above the butchered mess that used to be Dahedron.
No, you will not make the same mistake. Go!
With that, the ranger's boots hit the Wraithbone dais. As Isarion Stormsmorn groaned in and out of consciousness, the static of immaterial transference swallowed the three survivors of Ephraelion. The portal crackled and snapped to intensity before searing to silence. All that was left was the cacophony of alien menace. The horrid hissing, clicking and snapping of invader organisms, growing in intensity and announcing the great devourer's intention to assimilate every microbe of life the Exodite world had to offer.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.